All right, so I have 13 minutes till you all start checking scores, so I better get moving fast, right? Let's go ahead and go over to Exodus chapter 5. I did decide to shorten my message based on the fact that we do have the Lord's table tonight, but it's perfect because I think you'll get the picture by the end of tonight's message because it relates to life and how it will end. But going over to Exodus chapter 5, let's go ahead and this is entitled God's Message. God's Message. And there is a matter of relaying His message and there's a matter of hearing His message. But sometimes there are some obstructions in the path that make you feel like you falter or that it falters or that God falters. But we need to really cue in on the message that we're going to be able to see here tonight. And I'm going to try to illustrate this in a way that gets us on the right path. So I'm going to use Barry tonight because you still have a love for math, right? Now that you don't have to teach children, you have a love for math, right? Okay. All right. So do all of your kids love math? No. Okay. Emma has answered for us. Okay. All right. So Barry, when he first had this precious child named Emma, right? After his wife went through all the labor of having her, right? His dream for Emma was to become the greatest math student of all time. She was going to be called not an athlete, but a mathlete. Right? You ever heard of those? Only in Barry's world. Okay? So as he was holding her, cuddling her, he's saying 2 + 2 = 4. You know, he's giving her equations. He's doing all kinds of things just to express his love. And hopefully this love of math would be contagious and just go ahead and telepathically import itself into her brain when she was younger. But you know what? Even though as much as he tries to communicate this message to her about how great math is, you know, at some point she decided she did not like it. Why? Because it was easy? Now, some of you probably never took this, but there was a point in math where math went from just numbers to also adding in letters. Do you remember that? Yeah, I'm hearing the groans. Okay. And that was probably the most fearful thing of my school year that year, because all of a sudden they're trying to combine English and math together. It's like, what are they doing? And it's like, I finally got that 2 + 2 = 4. And now you want to say +A = N? What? That doesn't make any sense. Okay. And I don't know if you remember Paul Vodder. Does anybody remember Paul Vodder? He was this tall tenor from the Praise Men back when, like, I think it was might have been the first Praise Men group they had. But he ended up at FBCA in the middle of nowhere. He comes from Maranatha to FBCA and he's teaching. And I remember the day when we went into his class and he says, you know, I've been hearing all of you students freaking out about all the letters that we're going to be combining with math. Stop. We're going to be able to handle this. I don't want you to be freaking out anymore. And I remember I was at Smart Aleck. Right? And I raised my hand and I said, Mr. Vodder, I just don't understand. He says, I haven't even taught you yet, okay? Just listen, all right? Just take it all in. But you know, when we try to convey that message that's important, I mean, we do need math, don't we, Barry? We need math. We hope that some of our politicians can start learning math and how they can do the budget, right? It's needed. It's essential. And trying to convey that message, it doesn't always click because all of a sudden you run into math problems, and they're thinking, wait, I can't do this. I'm going home. I quit. It's too hard. You say, okay, so where's this illustration combined with tonight's message? Well, God has given Moses and Aaron a message, a mission to go and to deliver his people. And at first, he goes and delivers this to the Israelites. And how did they respond? Did anybody remember? How did they respond? Excitement, worship. They believed. They had faith. Finally, God is answering our prayers. Is that it? No, because God's already told them that Pharaoh's not going to just jump at the first time that you ask. It's going to be problematic. He's going to have a hard heart. And when the path gets difficult, how many times are you tempted to quit? To get out of the race? To say it's just, and this kind of goes in advance, but you remember when they're in the wilderness and the people of Israel are saying, oh, if we could only be in Egypt again, where at least we had food and jobs. It's just too hard. They wanted to quit. They wanted to go back into the suffering as God was delivering them. And so sometimes when that message is being relayed to someone, it doesn't mean that it's automatically going to make sense. They're not automatically going to jump in and say, man, you're the most wonderful thing I've ever seen. I know this is a message of deliverance and I need to respond. It doesn't always happen like that. So what are we going to do whenever we're delivering the message that God gives us? We need to keep giving it. Don't quit. So as we jump into this tonight, this is something that I want to be on your mind as we move forward through this. So we're going to jump into where Moses and Aaron, they get right to the mission. In fact, it relates that Moses was 80 years old, which we've already related to, when he had to leave at 40 and leave Egypt. And then at 80, God has instilled this mission in him, and he got right to it, because it'll actually state that he's 80 here in a chapter or so, to where he's still within the same year that God's called him into this mission. So he and his brother they make the move and they go right before Pharaoh. And so at first, in these first three verses, we're going to see the faithful relay of God's message. You know, that's so important. To faithfully relay the message of God in the way that he stated to say it. I mean, have you ever gotten a message, but it wasn't communicated wholly as it should have been? And that messed up how you responded? This is so important to faithfully relay the message of God. So in verses 1-3, let's jump into that. Here it says, and afterward, after what? After the commissioning of Moses to go to free God's people. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. This is exactly what God had stated. And you say, wait a minute. No. God is going to deliver them. It's not just holding a feast in the wilderness. He's going to deliver them. But this is where it started. This is where it started. This is what God had stated. But we're going to finish with verse 3, and then I'll prove it to you. Okay, in verse number 2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert. And sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. You say, well, where is this message coming from? It's coming back from Exodus chapter 3 and verse 18. And it says there, and they shall hearken to thy voice. This is God speaking to Moses. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So this is the exact message that God has given them to give. And he said, well, wait a minute, if God wants to deliver his people, why are they just saying, hey, let's go into the wilderness for 3 days? What's going on here? You know what God's doing? He's poking the bear. He's getting the ball rolling. I mean, has anybody ever tried to go up and poke a bull? Or a bear? I mean, Barry, have you tried to do that when you go to Iowa? Have you tried? Yeah? And just take Troy with you and see who's faster, right? Okay? What do you don't do that. That's dumb, right? You don't go and poke a bear unless it's a teddy bear. Yeah, sure. But a real bear? No. But you know what? God's bigger than a bear. God's bigger than the king of Egypt. And he's going in and he's, hey, I want my people to go out into the wilderness 3 days and sacrifice unto the true God of the universe. He's just getting the ball rolling. It's not testing the waters to see what Pharaoh's going to do. It's pushing Pharaoh to the point where his heart is going to get hardened to even allowing these people to go. Okay? So this is where they're at. This is at the point where here he is. He's telling them, he's saying to the Pharaoh, hey, here it is. Here is the message of God. We need to do this. Okay? And you know what Pharaoh does? Do you remember what it stated there? Let's go back to, I think it was verse number 2. Let's go back to verse number 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who's the Lord? Who is this guy? That I should obey his voice to let Israel go. Do you know who you're talking to? I don't know the Lord. And I'm not going to let Israel go either. He is, in essence, shaking a fist toward God. That, hey, are you even out there? Have you ever known people to do that? Is there even a God? You might even have some family members like that. You might have some associates, some co-workers. And when you start talking about God or you start praying to God, and like, hey, who are you talking to? Some fairy princess out in the middle of nowhere? That it's just your imagination? Who are you talking to? I control my life. I control where I go and what I do. Ain't no God. Ain't no imaginary friend that you've got going to tell me what to do. We have people just like Pharaoh all around us. This reminds me of how large the satanic cult is becoming in the United States. So wait a minute, it's a satanic cult? I mean, people who actually worship Satan? Yes. Yes. I think the Grammys was an excellent example of that. Praising unholiness. And that obstinance to God of, who is this God? Who is he to talk to me and tell me what to do? And he said, well, what do you do when people are obstinate to the truth? You sit back and you say, what would you expect? You say, well, what do you mean? Shouldn't I just say that everybody's going to respond in a positive light towards what God is telling us? We were talking in Sunday school about heaven and hell today and how hell is not an attractive conversation. It's just not. And people don't like to talk about it. Christians don't like to talk about it. Because if I start talking about hell, then people are just going to turn me off automatically. Because people don't want to know the reality of truth that's there right in the Bible. They don't want to be able to be accountable to it. Because then all of a sudden, hey, then I have to obey this God who says that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And I need to make choice and I need to put my faith in him. And they don't want to be able to acknowledge that. But when people hear the message, even though it's faithfully stated and they're obstinate to it, do you ever get upset? Do you ever say, how dare they deny God? But you know what? It's interesting. Can you shoot forward to Romans 5:8, Carlton? Do you remember this verse? This is a verse that many of us have probably memorized. And if not, put it on your list. But God commendeth, demonstrated his love toward us. And that while we were in total agreement with him, he died for us. Did I mess that up there? I really messed that one up, didn't I? I memorized that one wrong. Or maybe I'm just trying to fool you. While we were yet, what? Sinners. What did he do? He died for us. We were already enemies. We were already in opposition, and yet God sent his son to die for us. And so when people hear the faithful message but yet deny it, that should just be expected. But do we give up? Do we not even deliver the faithful message when there is going to be opposition to God? Oh, well, what's the use? What's the use if they're already going to deny it? Why even tell them about it? Why waste my words? Because God told us to deliver a message. God told Moses to deliver this message to Pharaoh and even told him, hey, he's going to be obstinate against it. But you're going to tell him anyway. He's going to deny it, but you're going to tell him anyway. Just because God sent his people on a mission does not mean that people will have the same view of God that you do. This does not mean that people will fear God the same way you do. In fact, the reality is that people who do not have a relationship with God are more often going to be obstinate due to that natural man. The natural man is an enemy of God. An enemy. Do you know what was important here and the principle that needs to be on display? We understand that people will deny God. Deny his will, deny his message. But yet, here's what we need. God has a message to give, and we need to give it faithfully. How are we going to do that? How do you know that the message that God wants you to give is right? It's probably right in front of you. Sitting open in your lap. Right here. It's right here. We need to know it. We need to memorize it. We need to study it. We need to be able to know what is truth so we can present that faithfully. Not guessing. But being a faithful witness of what God has given. All right, so there is the faithful relay of this message, but yet here is the failed hearing of God's message, and we've seen a little bit of that already. But that's it continues. So the failed hearing of God's message. And verse number 4, it says, "And the king of Egypt said unto them, Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" So he's saying, why are you pulling the people, my slaves, away from their labor? In fact, why don't you two get back to work? Because technically, they're Hebrews. They're Israelites. Get back to work. I've got stuff for you to do. You go into verse number 5, and Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." This is inefficient. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves." So we're going to make this harder. If they've got the time to be able to wish about going out into the wilderness and sacrifice to their God, who I don't even know is even in existence. Listen, if they've got the time, I'm going to make them work even harder. We're not going to provide for them. They're going to have to do extra. And the tail of the bricks, so I didn't know bricks had tails. Okay, well, to understand that, tail means proportion or measurement. So the proportion or the measurement of the bricks, which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them, ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore, they cry, saying, "Let us go and sacrifice unto our God." So the same amount of bricks that they made, the same proportion, the same measurement of bricks, they need to continue to do it. Don't let them cry out. Listen, if they've got the time to be able to cry out to their God, they've got the time to be able to do what I think that they should. In verse number 9, "Let their more work be laid upon men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." Whose vain words? Moses's. Aaron's. Empty words. At least that's what he's expressing. So in verse number 10, "And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, Thus saith Pharaoh. Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw." You know, I think that's interesting. Is that a little play on words? What do you hear from prophets? "Thus saith the Lord." And what are these taskmasters doing? "Thus saith Pharaoh." Guess what? Pharaoh thinks he's the God. He thinks he's in charge. He thinks he's the power that is. And we see here almost, you know, as you get farther along, you see that this is almost a little mockery or a scoffing at "thus saith Pharaoh." But this is how they see their God's message, their little g God's message. They're portraying that to the people. "So thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw." Okay, so you don't have as much as you did, and you don't have the same supplies as what you did, but I still want you to hurry up and get the job done. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick, both yesterday and today, as heretofore?" Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants?" Whoa. Back up a moment. Who were these people praying to before this? God. They're pleading for deliverance. And when God sent his messengers saying, "You'll be delivered," they responded with praise, worship, finally. But when the obstacle came, when the difficulty came, when the hardship came, they went to their horizontal leader, the one that they could see in front of them, the one who in that moment they had more belief in than the God of the universe, and go before him and start pleading to the Pharaoh. Why? Why are you treating your servants like this? You get the difference of where they went because hardship came? Their mindset, their belief, all of a sudden, perseverance wasn't there. It goes on in verse 16, there is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people. It's not our fault, it's your people. Verse 17, but he said, ye are idle. Therefore, ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you. Yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks. That proportion, that measurement of bricks that you were doing before, hey, you're going to continue to do that. Because guess who thinks he has the power? Pharaoh. Verse 19, and the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. After it was said, ye shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily tasks. And they met Moses and Aaron because Pharaoh wouldn't help. Pharaoh wasn't going to lessen the load. And what do? And they met Moses and Aaron who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge. Oh, these aren't the messengers of God anymore. May God judge you for the problems that you've brought into my life. You preach deliverance, and yet all I get is hardship. What kind of deliverance is this? Because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. They're going to kill us. And Moses returned unto the Lord. What does Moses do? Guys, don't do this. Don't do this. You got to depend on God. You got to go back to him. Pray to him. I mean, God's got this. It's okay. It's going to be hard now, but God's going to deliver you. Now, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why are you being evil towards your people? And why did you even send me? What's the point? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Woohoo! Let's go. Let's get back to work, folks. Let's go. Go home. Right? That's so encouraging. Let's get back to it. And they're beaten down. You ever been excited about a vacation? And you left later than what you thought you were going to? And all of a sudden your vehicle, it's freezing outside and your vehicle, the heat isn't working. And then you start feeling those potholes in the road over and over and over again. And then you start hearing all the rattles of your vehicle. Anybody got those? And then you look up at the nearest gas station and say, really? Really? How many times does it have to change? It was 40 cents cheaper a gallon yesterday. What do? You yell at each other. Anybody ever do that on vacation? No. Never. Tire pops along the interstate. That's an exciting moment, isn't it? It's when we get our man card, guys. Woof, woof, woof. Yeah, we're so excited. Oh, I just get to take care of my wife today. No, you just feel like you're getting beat down and beat down and beat down. And what do you say? I'm just trying to do something nice for my family for once. I've been working so hard dealing with these junior hires all the time. Come on, let me just get to vacation. People hate me. You know, that's when we get all exaggerated, don't we? And then we start looking at each other. Man, you bought Walmart donuts instead of Krispy Kremes? Come on, who are you? I know I'm exaggerating it, but we've been there, haven't we? Yeah, and then all of a sudden we're eating at each other. I mean, we're beating each other on the way. And it's like, ooh, let's go on vacation, right? You get where I'm going with this? Somebody said, no, I have no idea. And then you get to your destination. When you start enjoying your family. And you forget about all of your problems. Because there's a destination. There's a plan. And it's tough to get there. But you just keep driving. I mean, you do fix the flat. Right? You fix the flat. Then you get back in the vehicle and you keep driving. There's no point in beating each other up. There's no point in shaking your fist at God. There's no point in all that junk. All that junk. Just keep driving, knowing we've got a destination. And that's exactly where these are. Here's a message that's being delivered. Here's a message. And it's faithful. It's right. It's truth. I don't have to make up a different message, folks. If God has laid out a message for me, and again, my circumstances are different than Moses, okay? It's not the physical deliverance from Egypt, but yet in that sense, in that principle, that deliverance is from sin and death now that we deal with the gospel, right? And we've got this message, and we don't have to change it. We don't have to sugarcoat it. We don't have to mess with it. Just be faithful with God's message, and we understand that people aren't going to hear it right. We understand that people are going to deny it. We understand that people are going to get mad at us, but we keep delivering the message. We don't go back and say, God, why? Why have you dealt so evil with your people? Have you ever felt like that when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I just got told I got cancer? Oh, I just lost my child. I just got laid off. How many flat tires do we deal with in our life? A lot of them, right? But that doesn't change God's plan. It doesn't change the foundation that we rest on, that God has a plan, and even though it's hard, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means that the hardship that we go through means that it's worth it. It's worth it. how we hear that, how we even keep giving the message despite how other people hear it and how they might not be so happy, and they might be all excited in the beginning, but then their first child and they turn against it, and he's like, okay, we got to keep driving. We got to keep moving forward. We got to keep going along what God's will is for us, because he's got this. And you know what? He gives this. Can we just jump forward to that last point, Carlton? He gives this. I'm going to jump into chapter 6 and verse 1. Okay. After Moses is crying out, "What are you doing, God?" We're now on phase 2. What is it? This is what God said. "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh." Now? Really? Now? Yes, now. Now you're going to see. Now, even through this hardship, even through this difficulty, now you're going to see what God's going to do. "For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." Do you see that at all with what Pharaoh has just stated? We don't see that. We don't even see that the Israelites are on board with this. They're done. "What did you do to us, Moses and Aaron?" And yet in this point, God's saying he's going to drive them out of his land. Listen, folks, this battle that's on display for us in Exodus, it's not about Moses versus the people. It's not about Moses versus Pharaoh. It's not about Pharaoh against the people. It's about God being bigger, better, more awesome. He's sovereign. Our God versus all of the false gods of Egypt. And how it rings true for us, it's our God versus any thing that we can try to present as more powerful than he. Anything. God's bigger. He's better. He's got a plan. We need to keep driving. We need to keep walking. We need to keep running that race, looking into the author and finisher of our faith. Remember this. Remember this. So many times we get so upset. Have you ever gotten mad at the TV lately because you've been watching the news? Because you get angry at people because they're not doing what you think that they should be doing? What does it say in Ephesians 6:12? It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And this is what it's about. It's about how God wins over everything. We just got to keep giving the message of God that he wins over everything, and he's got this. And every single one of us need that every single day of our lives. You say, "Well, I'm a Christian." You still need the gospel every single day. You need to know that God's got this. You do. He's got this. So when you're facing the difficulty of an obstinate child, a rebellious child, we keep driving. We keep giving the message. And we say, "God's got this." When you deal with the physical ailment, when you deal with the addiction, when you deal with old age, when you deal with politics, when you deal with school systems, when you deal with the depravity of mankind, we keep giving the message, keep driving, say, "God's got this." Folks, we're in this together. God's got this. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the message that you do give. And God, we need to give it. And not everybody's going to be on board with it. And there's going to be times when it's going to be difficult. But we got to keep driving. Got to keep moving forward. Knowing you've got this. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God, just take a few moments.